and I am here to do the devil's work.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Carnal Extremities podcast, more so our sub-series, Spoiled Rotten. As always, I am one of your hosts, Reina Cervantes, and with me is...
I am your other host, Vanna Taylor.
Yeah, we're turning this into a series where... I guess we're going to use this as like our spoiler like episodes for recent releases, right?
Yeah, so far that seems to be, you know, what it is. Because, I mean, we spoil everything. Like, you can't have a detailed discussion of a movie without spoiling it. But I guess just to, like, you know, set them apart, that this is, like, bonus material because it's a recent release. And just since everyone is... not everyone might have seen it yet, just like, yeah, it's almost like a warning, like, if you haven't seen it, don't watch this yet or listen to this yet.
Well, yeah, I don't even know where you're clicking on it if you haven't.
Yeah, because I feel like a lot of I see a lot of other shows, like, sometimes they'll do bonus or they'll do like kind of coverage of a recent release, and they'll do like spoiler free thoughts at the top of the episode, and then they'll like do spoilers later, you know, and things like that, I think. Or like sometimes it's an interview, or I don't know, there, I think I see a lot of different things happening on different podcasts, and I just, you know, I'm like, we're just going to spoil everything. I'm not going to do like spoiler free for a couple minutes and then start. I'm just going to start talking about what I want to talk about, you know?
100%. And in keeping in line with our last main feed episode where we covered The Omen, today's Spoiled Rotten is going to be about the first Omen, not the first Omen movie, the movie titled The First Omen that just came out on April 5th, directed by... man, I'm probably going to butcher this. Directed by Arkasha Stevenson and starring Nell Tiger Free. Yeah, this is a prequel to the 1976 film. And I'm going to be honest, like right from the jump, I feel like this is a movie that shouldn't exist.
Yeah, what exactly do you mean by that?
What I mean is, like, one, you're doing a prequel to a movie that's considered a classic from the 70s. A prequel, first and foremost. Two, it's a Disney film. Three, it's actually really fucking good.
Yeah, that was, I was not expecting it to be, like, really good. I mean, I was sure I'd probably enjoy it, but... yeah, I loved it. Yeah, I think on the point of it being a Disney, really, you know, since it's, you know, Fox, it, yeah, I guess I'll agree that it feels wonderful that something like this exists, especially under that production company. Something I didn't think I would see for sure.
Oh, totally. And this movie's been kind of gestating for a little while, like nearly 10 years. If I remember correctly, it was announced in 2016 when Fox was still like a standalone entity. And this was one of the movies that when Disney acquired Fox, everyone kind of wondered what the state of it would be. It was kind of in limbo for a little bit. And it's just kind of relieving to know that Disney, like, owns the rights to, like, Omen, Predator, Alien, Hellraiser. And they're kind of not just sitting on them. They're, like, actually putting out brand new entries in all of these series. And for the most part, they're of, like, high quality. I'm pretty sure it's the leadership over at, like, at 20th Century Studios. But it's definitely cool that it's still happening.
Yeah, I don't think I realized that it had been like in talk for that long. I think I remember maybe seeing something about it, like once that, you know, kind of merger or acquisition, I guess, happened. You know, like you said, everyone was like, what is going to happen to all of these projects? But I don't think I really like put it together, like that it would be something that was in the works for that long, which is really interesting because, you know, our last little spoiler episode was Immaculate, which was also something that was in the works for so long. And I find it really interesting that not only is it interesting that such similar yet, I mean, wildly different films came out with it in like weeks of each other, but that they were also both things that have been in development for a long time. So you can't even say like that one was jumping on the train of the other or something like that, since they've been, you know, floating around for a while. It's just really interesting. It's like maybe, I guess some things were maybe going on around that time that is somehow still relevant, you know? Yeah. I don't know. I didn't realize it had been in development that long.
Totally. Totally. Speaking on like the topic of Immaculate and First to Omen comparisons, I definitely gotta give this one kudos for exploring themes of body autonomy a little bit better. I think it was definitely the fact it was written and directed by a woman, like, lends a lot to that perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I think bodily autonomy is, I would say maybe a little bit more, like more thoroughly explored in Immaculate, in the sense that, we spend a little bit more time with the pregnancy and we get to see, you know, those really complex emotions that she has, and like the fear and, in, you know, being, having to question the medical advice that she's being given and things like that, I feel like is a little bit more of an exploration of, bodily autonomy when it comes to specifically like your reproductive capacity. But the First Omen, you know, since we don't spend a lot of time with the pregnancy itself, it kind of explores it in more of a sense of like systemic abuse and control. So it's still definitely talking about autonomy, but in a little bit of a different sense. It's kind of weird because The First Omen is what I thought Immaculate was going to be. It definitely is questioning. They're both questioning the church and abuses that happen in the church. But I think because I had assumed Immaculate would be more supernatural, you know, I think that the trailer kind of leads you to think that. And then I do appreciate that they pull the rug out and like kind of twist it. I think that makes it interesting. And but yeah, it's just interesting because like when I was watching First Omen, I was like, this is just everything that I had assumed Immaculate was going to be. And I'm glad that they both exist. And I'm glad that they do have such like different spins that they're able to tackle similar topics, but like from different angles. It's really interesting. And they're literally within 2 weeks apart, I think. So, but yeah, I don't know, like abuse, like lifelong abuse. I don't know. There's a lot going on here. A lot going on that is very different from what is going on in the original Omen film, which I think is the most interesting part, it's a prequel to The Omen, but it's doing something totally different with that. I don't know if that makes sense.
Well, one, I think something that adds to the credibility of the first Omen is the quality. So full disclosure, me and Vanna got to see this one on 35mm for the first time ever. Like, they said that the print had never been projected before, so it just, like, even on top of, like, the gorgeous cinematography and on-set location, like, on-location shooting, seeing it projected in 35 was just, like, a gorgeous experience. I felt fully immersed in the world that this film crafts right from the jump. And because I'm so, like, immersed in it, I feel the themes hit harder than ever before.
Yeah, it's incredibly detailed and well executed. Like, it's like you said, like, I felt immersed, especially since being a prequel, it had to be a period piece. You can see that there's so much detail given to the sets and, you know, costuming and things like that when it comes to the extras, even like these side elements about the like cultural, political climate of the area. You know, like there's so much attention being given to everything in the first Omen. It's just, and like you said, it was so gorgeous.
Totally. Diving fully into spoiler territory, I want to talk about how this movie sort of retcons the original film.
Yeah, that's something that I see kind of being a hot topic of discussion. It had been a really long time since I had watched The Omen, so I didn't really have any, while I, you know, remembered most of the plot of The Omen, those details, the specific things that were retconned were things that I wasn't really too conscious of during the viewing experience. I was kind of just like taking everything in. It wasn't until like after the movie ended that I was like, wait, let's change some things. But you know, obviously everything about the plot of the first Omen requires, a really big change, you know, considering in the original we get like, his mother was a jackal, you know?
Yeah.
So if you're making a movie about the mother, you obviously have to change that. But I just think it, aside from being necessary for the film to exist at all, I think it just makes a really interesting story. And I think it actually makes the original Omen film more interesting. You know, obviously people aren't fans of things being retconned, especially if those moments were especially impactful to you. But I just think I think it makes it more interesting. I don't know what your thoughts are.
I kind of dug how they made it so where, like, Satan himself took the form of the jackal and that his mother was a human. I know people are upset at the, oh, it wasn't Satan in a normal jackal like the original Omen, like, implied. But when you see the original Omen film right after this one, it still lines up pretty great, because when he goes to find out about the jackal, Gregory Peck's character, the monk that's like telling him everything, he can like barely talk. So it doesn't really confirm that the mother is the jackal. They just assumed.
Yeah. I, my reading also, in this logic that I've formed for myself in order to, allow both to exist and be correct, is that, You know, I know technically, what's his name?
Father Brennan.
Father Brennan. I know that, like, while he's being rushed out of the office, he, like, starts to say his mother was a jackal. You know, in my mind, I'm like, well, he was interrupted because, you know, he was being shoved out of the office. Technically, you could twist that sentiment. Like, she is technically part jackal because she's mm-hmm. the daughter of the jackal as well. But I don't know, like, he could, I don't know. Aside from the point being that, like, I also think, given the kind of power that we see this church or this group kind of exert, and, like, the strings that they're pulling just to get Damien into the right family, like, it's very plausible that they also could have, you know, kind of staged that grave in the sense, you know, like, the body was placed there in a grave marked with her name, whether or not, you know, she's dead or not. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know, like, kind of like conspiracy church cover up kind of thing. I don't know if that makes sense. Not that it really matters, because, like, if you can retcon things if you want, but I think technically there's a lot kind of, like, open, like you said in the first Omen, like, it could be different. And so I don't think it's really that big of a deal. Again, the Omen, like we kind of talked about, wasn't something that was, like, particularly impactful on me. So it's not, like, a personal offense. I know sometimes when people touch someone's favorite movie, they get a little more touchy about certain things. But yeah, I'm fine with it. I love it. I think it's more interesting. I think, to me, I'm like, what's more interesting than the, you know, Antichrist is, like, who the fuck his mom was. mm-hmm. You know, I just think that perspective is really interesting. Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about Nell Tigerfree as Margaret in this film?
She is phenomenal. I don't think I've ever seen her in anything before, so this was, like, new. She was new to me. She killed it. She was amazing. I know, like, some people might feel a certain way about homages to Possession, like, whether or not that subway scene has been recreated too many times or not, but I think it's done so well. Possession's one of my favorite movies, and to see, like just wow. I don't know, she really, like, did that. She looks so animalistic and gross and possessed. It's just, it's amazing. And I was like, wow, they really did that. Like, not just recreating the scene, you know, like, the, you know, doing a weird gross dance on the ground, but also, like, the body fluids coming out of her, like, the blood and mucus. I was like, they went there. They went there in a lot of ways in this film, and it made it, yeah, again, it made it interesting, because it was like, if you're gonna do it, then do it. You know what I mean?
No, she's cool. I like how she ended up being Damien's mother too. I felt she brought a great, like, how do I put this? She brought, like, a great grounding to the role. Like, she's, like, the stand-in for the audience, that she's thrust into these situations that she doesn't know what's going on either. I think she kills it. I think she's awesome. I think Ralph Ineson as Brennan is fucking great, too.
He is so good. He's just such an icon. Like, I don't care what he's doing. If you put him in something, I'm going to be so happy. Okay. I could just listen to the man talk. I might need subtitles because not only does he have a thick accent, but the deep register of his voice makes some of the things he says a little hard to hear. I don't know if that makes sense, but mm-hmm. I love him so much.
I gotta be real. I did not know Father Brennan was a character from the original because I didn't rewatch the original until the double feature we went to where they showed both. So I was like, oh shit, he's playing that guy.
Yeah, I hadn't really, like I said, it had been so long since I rewatched it that like those things were not actively going through my mind throughout the film. I did clock the like homage to the death with the pole going through him at the beginning. They kind of did like a fake out, like, oop, is he gonna get impaled with the pole right now? Which obviously it wouldn't make sense if he did, because then he wouldn't be able to. I think that's why at first I like wasn't registering that was him, because I was like, they wouldn't tease that they're gonna kill him if he's the guy from the original.
Hated but then that scene.
Yeah, it was a little studio.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I gotta be real. The beginning and the ending of this movie feel like studio mandated reshoots.
Yeah, it was like, oh, we got a hint that this might happen to him. And then we got a like hint that we might have a sequel. And it's just like, it's so bleh. Like, they aren't good. They don't make sense. This is not a movie that you should be planning to maybe have a sequel to, because the whole point of it is that the sequel already exists. Yeah, I don't know. It just felt weird and shoved in. And I think because the original kind of starts, obviously, with the hospital scene, and we get like these overhead shots of the city, and it's ominous. Like, the film could have just ended on that, like, that moment when they are like planning to take him to the hospital, and then we get this beautiful shot of the city and the music is like swelling, and it's kind of like that, if it had cut there, it would just leave you with that, oh, I know what's coming next, you know, like, oh, like the weight of it, like the like no. like the dog getting out of the encampment in the thing or something, like, you know, it's
no, instead,
you know, I don't know.
Instead, they're like, let's shoot this ending where she's taking care of these other spawns of Satan, one of them being Damien's twin, which, like, that's a big fucking thing that she's still alive at the end of this film. But mm-hmm. let's have it so where Brennan shows up on this set that's very clearly a cabin set built on a sound studio, and have him go, his name is Damien. It's like,
it's so fuck dumb.
It's so MCU-esque. And I see people like kind of praising it, going like, oh, well, we could get side sequels. And I'm like, no, that's stupid. This movie probably won't get a sequel. The sequel is The Omen.
Yeah, plus it's one of those things where it's like, okay, it's just because they wanted to say his name.
Yeah, you know, because they don't say it any other time in the film.
Yeah, because the name Damien itself is what, you know, like, that's the omen. But I'm like, they could have easily have done, you know, while I still hold that I think that final shot over the city, like, if it had cut to black and went to credits, I just think that would have been really impactful, like, on an emotional totally. Level. But if you really have to, like, why couldn't, you know, because we just saw the hand off, like, of the baby. Why couldn't they then show them, like, handing him to, like, a stand-in for the mother and, like, have her go, like, let's name him Damien. and then like cut there. I don't know. Like, I feel like if you have to say the name Damien because you think it's so cool and you're like, oh yeah, there's that moment. I just feel like that it would have been cooler if it was that, not him tracking down the mother who doesn't give a shit what the kid's name is. Like, why, what? I don't know. It's just, it was so weird. And like you see, yeah, it was so MCU. Like, we got to have our like end credit scene that like connects one character to another story. It's just so like, come on. It's so Disney. Like,
I don't even think that. I think like audiences just like fucking expect shit like that now. And it's like, you don't have to do it. You really don't. Like, you can let things be things. The only thing I will say is, because you set that up to numerous survivors being hunted down by the church in like a potential sequel, they should really fucking tie that into the final conflict somehow. The third Omen film. Where Damien's an adult.
Yeah. If you're gonna like, if you're gonna tease it, then do it with your chest, you know? Yeah, like,
yeah, like fully commit. Fully commit.
Yeah, yeah, other than like, literally other than that, like, this movie is perfect to me.
It's really good. And you know, I say it won't get a sequel, but it might, with recent news that 20th Century is working on sequels to Hellraiser and Predator. I mean, it very well could. The box office tells me otherwise.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's not doing as well of other things, but I think there's just too many things to maybe, I guess not really. I don't know. There's not a lot of good stuff out.
I think what it is one, it's a prequel to a film from 1976. Two, the last Omen film was like in 2006. It's not a big like IP property recognizable thing. Well, it is recognizable, but you don't have people clamoring for a sequel. And two, I mean, it was this and Immaculate being released so close together is really fucking unfortunate.
Yeah, I think maybe like general audiences, like, I forget sometimes, like, because I mostly talk to other horror obsessed people. So like, our movie going habits are very different from just like general audiences that just want to go to the movies and like, maybe, oh, let's see a scary movie. Like, I feel like there is a sentiment that like, if you watched one, you don't really have to watch the other, because they're like, oh, it's basically the same thing. Like, we just went to the movies last week, you know, like thinking about like, I know, you know, us as avid horror fans, and you know, we want to go see those movies, but like thinking about like a normal, you know, date night or whatever, I don't know. It's just, yeah, it is unfortunate.
Get this. The last thing of The Omen to be released before this film was a 2015 TV series on A&E of all television stations.
Interesting.
Yeah, that was canceled after one season. That has Barbara Hershey in it. Yeah.
I've never heard anyone talk about this.
No, and, you know, the plot of it sounds kind of cool. I might need to watch it. It says, based on the 1976 film The Omen, the series, titled Damien, follows the adult life of Damien Thorne, now a 30-year-old war photographer who has forgotten his satanic past and origin, facing his true identity. Anne Rutledge, played by Barbara Hershey, who has protected Damien all his life, will help him as embrace his Antichrist side.
You know, that does actually kind of sound a little interesting. And I mean, the Exorcist TV show was good, so maybe...
Oh, I realized we recorded that fucking episode and I barely brought up that show once.
Yeah, I feel like with that episode and also with The Omen, I was like, man, I feel like the actual movie is like something we talked about the least, just because we had so much, like, it just inspired so much discussion about other things. But yeah, there were so many other things I was like, dang, I wish I talked about this. I don't know. It's just, there's always the like, woulda, coulda afterwards. Which reminds me, I would be very disappointed if we discuss the first omen without talking about the vagina.
Oh, yeah. So the full on
like birth scene, like we get full vagina, vulva.
It's great, but I also wonder, what is that scene? What's going on in that scene?
I absolutely love the horror of it all. I love that they, like I said, if you're gonna do it. They went there. She fought to keep, you know, all of that in, despite, you know, being slapped with an NC-17. But yeah, it doesn't make sense to the plot, because I'm like, you know, I know have this like systemic, you know, like sexual abuse and like trying to impregnate one of the daughters of the Jekyll, but yeah. I'm like, but why would this other woman be giving some sort of monstrous birth?
So from what I gather is that, okay, Margaret herself is a spawn of the Jekyll, but the Jekyll has to have sex with one of its spawn in an incestual manner to create the Antichrist. Now, they're implying throughout the entire film it's that little girl Carlita that's going to be the one to give birth to the Antichrist, but then it's revealed she's too young, her reproductive organs haven't like fully developed, so that's why they brought Margaret over to Italy so that she can be the one to do it. So what I assume that scene is with the vagina and the full like exposure and everything is that they're just pumping out spawns of Satan.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, oh, it doesn't make sense in the sense of, you know, that it would be another one of the, like, Skiana, like, girls, because it's a very big plot point that, like, only those two girls have survived. But it would make sense if, like, after they keep failing with Carlita, before they officially brought Margaret over, that they, like, maybe attempted, you know, a few, and then so this is like a failed, like just monster pregnancy that's not going to give the result they want, but is quite disgusting. Or I guess like the only other thing I can think of is if it's just maybe Margaret having like a vision or like sort of premonition about like her purpose there. Maybe it is a normal birth, but she's like kind of foreseeing something monstrous happening. But I do think it is very likely that like they were like, oh, maybe we should just like try some other chicks and then like while we wait for Margaret to get over here. As horrible as that is, but
yeah. We didn't even bring up that this movie brings up, because like the original film is like very, oh, good, evil, there's like Jesus versus Satan, and this movie's like, oh no, people were leaving the faith, so the church came up with the idea to bring forth the Antichrist to bring people back to the church.
Yeah, I think that's also what makes it really interesting, or kind of improves upon the original Omen in my mind, just in the things that I enjoy watching. Not just like I love, like I mentioned when we talked about some of the last, like on the last few episodes, like I love pregnancy gynecological horror. Like I like that gets under my skin. So of course I gravitate towards this story, but I also think that by, you know, in the original one, it is very much like there is good and there is evil, and there somehow has been manifested this force of evil, like in flesh and bone in the world. And by having it be like this, the Satan and Jekyll spawn, that's what makes it a more like spontaneous, like thrusting of evil into the world versus by making this story, like they're directly implicating the church and just like what Immaculate is doing, where they're like really turning the eye on systemic abuse and the evils that happen behind church doors. And again, that is just something that is more interesting than there is good and there is evil, but that the people like parading around, you know, spouting about the good and the evil are the ones that are doing evil. That's just more interesting.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. Just any final thoughts on the film before we get out of here?
I don't know. I really loved it. You mentioned that we saw it on 35mm print. That was so gorgeous, and that was such a fun experience too. Yeah, I don't know. I think we said it all. I loved it.
8 out of 10. Go yeah. watch it. It'll be on Hulu yeah. soon, probably.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Crazy. Yeah, crazy to think that they are who put this out. But I'm glad that they did. I'm glad that they acquired these properties and they aren't just letting them sit there. And they're not just giving us an Omen movie, but they're giving us one with like a full-on damnation of the church and demonic incest, sexual abuse, and grotesque birthings. Like they gave us something. This, they said this one's for the horror fans.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Okay. Vanna, where can people find you on socials?
Yeah, you can find me on all social medias at Siren Death Cult. And where can people find you, Reyna?
You can find me on socials at JFC Doomblade. You can find the pod at Carnal EX Pod on Twitter/X and Instagram. We'll be back next week with a mainline episode. We got a lot of things in the cooker regarding the pod.